It is so great to see everybody this morning. I am so thankful we have the opportunity to be here. And I want you to know that we have a big goal next Sunday. And I'm going to pray about that in just a moment. But I hope you remember that, right? You know, we have, our numbers are a little bit down from where they normally are today. We have around 235, 33, I think, here today. That means we got to have 167 more people here to reach our goal. Do you believe we're going to reach that goal? Say amen. All right. I'm going to hold you to it. You know, there's a lot of times that people will get up here and preachers will say, and it was even brought up at our men's ministry, what are you going to do, Terry? Well, you know, some said lead singing if we had 400. I'd get up here and lead singing, but then I would hate for y'all to go through that. I don't really know. But I kind of thought, Walgreens is calling me right now, by the way. It's crazy. I kind of thought, well, we've been talking about strength a lot. And, you know, I've mentioned I like to lift weights or what have you. So I'll tell you what. I'll do this for you, or I'll do it, and I'll put it out somehow on video, okay? When I was a child, I wanted to be able to bench press 225 pounds, okay? That is a 45 plate on one side, a 45 plate on another, two 45s on each side and the bar, okay? Well, good news is I was able to get that goal, and I tell you, I'm 42 years old. So if you will have 400 people here, I will video myself somehow or another. I've not even thought this through, by the way. But I'll bench press 225 pounds 42 times. All right? If you do that. 42 times. That'll be my goal. I may not get it. But you got to have 400 here for me to be able to attempt that, all right? So, we'll see. So, keep that in mind. Mike, there's my goal, all right? You challenged me. That's what I'm going to go with, all right? So, I'm not shaving my head. I'll get a haircut this week, but it'll be short, but I'm not going to do any of that. But I didn't know what else to do, so I'll go with that. Since it's on strength, right? We're talking about being strong. But before we get into all that, our lesson and everything today, the Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, okay? My brother Conrad, his family, they're hurting because, and we all are, because we won't miss Glenda home, right? We want them home, want her home, and we want her to get better. And so, he asked if we could have prayer, and by all means, I know you're praying every day, but let's have special prayer for them at this time. Also, I want to remember Bubba and Jeanette in that as well. And then ask God to reward us with our goal, more than our goal, next Sunday. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful to be your children. We're so thankful, Father, that we have the opportunity to worship you. As Bubba prayed just a little bit ago, Father, we pray that our worship has been acceptable and pleasing in your sight thus far. And as we enter into a time where we reflect on ourselves, and we reflect on where we stand in our walk with you, Father, I pray that our hearts will be open, our minds will be open, and Father, that we'll be able to say and do things that will challenge us and help us grow closer to you and one another. Father, I pray for our sweet Miss Glenda. Father, she's such the salt of the earth. She's such the virtuous woman. She is such an amazing servant in your kingdom, Father, and every life in this room, I'm sure, Father, has been touched by her life and Brother Conrad's and their family. Father, we just want her to get well and to be able to come home from the hospital and feel much better. And it's a heavy load on Brother Conrad and because he wants her to get better. And Father, I just pray for both of them. Thank you for their great example of love and just the sweetness that they have and love and desire they have for one another. But Father, just help her to feel much better even this afternoon, dear Father. And I know she's got a test on Tuesday. I pray, Father, that whatever's causing her the pain, and I know there's been concern or confusion about what's going on, but Father, I just pray that she'll get better. She won't ever have to go through this again, and you'll just bring her home soon. Be with all their family and comfort them. Father, I'm thankful that you watched over Bubba and Jeanette as they were in this bad car wreck a few days ago. Father, I'm thankful that you watched over Jeanette as she went through her surgery on Friday. But Father, as they continue to recover and get out and go to rehab facilities, Father, I pray that you will help them to overcome this and be able to get back on their feet, have their strength back, and be able to do the things they once enjoyed. They're such special people, dear Father, and I pray for them and their families. Father, I also ask you that next Sunday, as we come in here to worship you, that there won't be any space in this building. Father, from the bottom to the top, we will be full. Father, that we will do our part in reaching out, not just to those who may be easy, Father, but even stepping outside of our comfort zones. Father, that we will continue to ask everybody we know and come in contact with and have a relationship with to be a part of our gathering next Sunday. Father, I am so thankful for this church and the way they rise to the challenge. I'm so thankful for the way that they are willing to do things like challenge ourselves. Father, I pray for the best day we've ever had around here. Father, I pray that there be those in our number, not only next Sunday, but even today, that may need to come to know you, Father, and that they'll hear the message, and they'll be obedient to the gospel. Or, Father, if they need to come back home, they'll do that as well. Help us to go above and beyond the goals that we set, not for our sake, but for the kingdom and for you. Thank you for loving us and forgiving us when we fail you. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Next Sunday, I'll be talking about Jesus Christ. I'll be concluding this series of lessons on strength. I'll be talking about it from a standpoint of how we can find strength in Him. And I'll be doing some things that I think will be very applicable to those who'll be in this attendance next Sunday. But this morning, I want to talk about why. Why do we have goals? Why do we set goals? Why is it important to look for strength in numbers? Why do we need to do that? Well, remember that Jesus Christ said, as Bo came and read to us from Matthew 18:20, just a moment ago, He said, "Where two or more are gathered in My name, there I'm in the midst of them." And I'm so thankful for that. That it doesn't matter what size the group, Jesus Christ is there. Now, there are things that my finite mind cannot understand about God. Number one is how when we all bow our heads and we pray, He hears all those prayers and He answers all those prayers the way He knows best. You can talk to me, two people can talk to me, and my brain will go crazy. Okay, because I'm just like, but God can do that. He's majestic. He is all powerful. He's awesome. And another one is if I'm worshiping here or I'm worshiping somewhere else and there's just a few of us, He's everywhere. He's there as well. But here's what I want you to know. It's amazing that He's saying, even if it's two, but what will He do if it's over 400? You know, think about how special that will be. And think about looking over next to us and knowing that we're filled up with people that are there for us. I'm there for them, you're there for me, we're there for each other. You see, when we think about strength, we think about being there for one another. Something that we're weak at, someone else is helping us with. If I'm going to slip, somebody's going to pick me up. If I'm going to limp, somebody's going to help me walk. If I can't see the clear as I need to see, somebody's going to point me in the right direction. That's the beautiful thing about the church of our Lord. And so I want us to think about this from a biblical standpoint. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to put a plug in for the Edified podcast here. George and I, Justin, we're going to all get back on schedule one day, maybe. But George and I were able to do the podcast this week, and we talked about Hebrews chapter 10, okay? In Hebrews chapter 10, we learn about why we're here today. George and I talked about holding fast, and we're going to read that scripture again. But we all know Hebrews 10:25, right? Listen to this verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you know, I think that there's some confusion on that verse. And what I mean by that is, if you look in your Bibles, they may have the word day capitalized, okay? There are a couple thoughts behind that. The reason that the writers capitalize it is because they're saying, hey, that's the day of judgment. That's the day. Well, I don't believe it's talking about the day of judgment, but there are a couple other ways to look at it. Some said, well, it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, okay? And that was coming. It's talking about, hey, you Jews, you need to get yourselves right because you need to be assembling, you need to be worshiping because they're coming to destroy the Jerusalem as we know it. And that's probably who most people hold that from a biblical scholar standpoint. But another option I want to throw out to you there is talking about this day, Sunday, the first day of the week. Think about it this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, Sunday's coming, so what am I going to do about it? Sunday's coming, so am I going to be ready? Sunday's coming, or am I going to have something else come up so that I don't come and be a part of the gathering? Why do I need to be here? Why do I need to go to church? You see, those are the things that people ask sometimes because we don't look at this day as a day for God sometimes. This is His day. This is not Terry's day. This is not your day. This is the Lord's day. And we need to treat it as such, right? We need to treat this day, this time, this moment that we're together as this is all about God. And we need to do everything we can to renew ourselves, to get stronger, and to understand that the more we have, the more we're in this together, the stronger and better off we will be. You see, if I take Sunday and I look at it as a day that I better get myself ready, clear my calendar, because I'm going to start every day, every week, every first day of the week out the right way, then I wouldn't have any problem with forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But I'm going to do some bonus work with this, okay? Let's back up and see what he's talking about, okay? He's talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but if we do these things, it'll be even more, it'll be even better for us to be here together. So back up and let's start reading here in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, beginning in verse 22, let us draw near. He's talking about the high priest, okay? Jesus Christ is our high priest. And he's saying, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, he's talking about once I am obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I need to understand why I shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Okay? That's Hebrews 10:25. I see the day approaching. I need to make sure I'm ready for it. I'm ready and I'm here and I'm willing. But he gives us the pattern before that. He says in verse 22, once you are obedient to the gospel, you come here to draw near to Him. Okay? You come here to draw here near to Him. Now, there are going to be some people that you will invite that I hope will come, that they may not go anywhere. Or they may go somewhere else where they've got a party. You know what I mean? It's you know, I said on the podcast, if I pay to go to a concert, I want to be entertained, right? Listen to this. Say with me. If I pay to go to a game, a contest of some sort, I want to be entertained. But I want you to know something. I didn't pay anything to be here today. Jesus Christ paid it all. So if He paid it all, guess what? He wants to be entertained by our worship, by our giving ourselves to Him, by our songs, by our prayers, by our hearts, by our actions, by what we do. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about drawing closer to Him. That is number one reason we're here. Okay? Then He says in verse 23, reason number two, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. That's where we got the podcast last week. Hold fast, okay? We come to strengthen our grip today. Do you realize that? We come to get stronger today. We came, number one, to draw closer to God. What's going to happen as a direct result of that? We're going to get stronger. Every time we're here, we may break something down, but He's going to build it back up. And we're going to get a grip on our faith, on our whole walk with God, and it's going to be strong. So number one, we're here to draw near. Number two, we're here to be stronger. Number three, He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know what that is? That's you and me. He said, yes, number one, you don't need to forsake the assembly. You need to set yourselves ready. The day's coming. Get ready, right? Don't forsake the assembly because, number one, you're here to draw near to God. Number two, you're here to get stronger. And then number three, you're here for one another. You see, I need you. And I think you need me. All right? We need each other. So today, as we talk about strength in numbers, why do we want to grow the kingdom? Because we need one another. We need God. We need to have a strong faith. But we also need each other. And once we figure all three of those out, there will not have to be any hellfire and brimstone sermons on you need to be at church, because we'll understand it. We'll understand why we're here. You see, we need to be a part of the assembly. We need to be a part of the gathering because we need each other as well as we need God and a strong faith. So I want you to keep that in mind. This is biblical pattern, okay? We're here to consider one another, to stir up love, to stir up good works. But I want to remind you that there's strength in numbers, and there's some Old Testament passages I want to prove that to you today. One of them we looked at Wednesday night, and it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Don't you love Ecclesiastes 4? Beginning in verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will be his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. That's Solomon writing in a book about his life, really, the importance of more than one being together. You know, my favorite part of all that, and I know the threefold cord is such a beautiful illustration, and you've heard it in weddings, you've heard it in a lot of things, but my favorite part of that, especially talking about strength, is when, hey, if somebody's one-on-one, they may be in a battle, right? So they may, hey, that other person may get the best of them, but when my buddies come up, we're going to get that other person off of them, right? We got each other's back. One of the worst things that could happen is for us to run one another down. Don't you know that? Isn't that terrible? I'm afraid it happens from time to time in the church. But wouldn't it be awful if we were out with a complete stranger and somebody brought somebody's name up and like, oh yeah, they go to church with me. I know them. They're this, they're that, they're this, they're blah, blah, blah. Well, see, that's not having one another's back. That's not being there for one another. That's not considering love and good works and stirring it up. That's stirring up bitterness and evil and hatred and what the devil wants. So Ecclesiastes 4 is a very important passage. But the majority of our time today, I want us to now be in Numbers chapter 13. Please turn in your Bibles to Numbers 13. You will note that in Numbers, it's significant that we're talking about strength in numbers from the book of Numbers. But in Numbers is when they first started getting a count of the people. That's what the whole book's about counting the people, numbering the people, because they're trying to become this great nation. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to skip around. I really would love to be in the whole chapter, but we just don't have time for all that. So look at verse 2. This is what Moses says. He says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So God tells Moses to tell the people, hey, I want you to go and get you some spies. That's what's happening here. So he says, get one from every tribe. So that means there are going to be 12, right? There are going to be 12 because there are 12 tribes of Israel. These spies are to go and look at Canaan. What has God done? He's told them, hey, this place is great. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to love this place. It's beautiful. It's fertile. You'll never have to worry about anything. Everywhere you go, it's going to be, I'm going to give it to you. You're going to conquer. Everything's going to be great. And I promise you, this place is amazing. He said, but I just want you to go and check it out for yourselves. So he said, get 12 of them, and y'all go. So, let's keep reading. Verses 17 through 19 now. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. They're going to get a really good view of it, right? And see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or there are not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So, I love this scene. You got to see the scene, right? So Moses is addressing them. He says this, and in those verses following two, he's telling them all and getting them all together and everything. And then in verse 17, he says, all right, go up to the mountains, all 12 of you, and I want you to see, are the people strong or weak? Are they mighty or few? Many or few? What's the land like? Is it good or bad? Do all these things. They've got this checklist. He said, oh, and by the way, bring back some grapes. Okay? We want to see. We want you to get out of that mountain and go down in there and get some grapes, and we want to see how this really goes. Pick up in verse 26 now. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. Terry's words here is just like God said. It truly is, or it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. You remember they had to carry that fruit on their shoulders. It was so, I mean, it was massive stuff. He said, here it is. Now when they told them this, and said, they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us that truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those are giants. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the crowd, or the people, before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Hey, church. Here are a bunch of tickets. Go and send them out to people. Invite. Tell people about the 27th. Tell them about how great things are going to be. All this is going to be great. We're going to have 400 here. Amen. Terry's going to do stupid stuff. Amen. But then there was this word with some. Nevertheless. You see, I want to take the nevertheless out of you today. I want to take the nevertheless out of your thoughts, out of your minds, out of your vocabulary. They said, hey man, it's just like God said. It's fertile. It's beautiful. We can grow whatever we want to grow there. I mean, look at the size of the grapes. Nevertheless, we can't do it. Nevertheless, we can't go. There are giants there. They're stronger than us. Their cities are fortified. We can't do it. You see, sometimes in life, we put God in a box. And we're like, well, that sounds great. But I don't know that God can really do that. I don't know that we can really accomplish that. I don't know that we can really reach those goals. Or why are we doing stuff like this? Why? Blah, blah, blah. See, that's a nevertheless kind of mindset. We need to have a mindset of, as long as God is glorified, great things are going to happen. As long as it's God's will and we inquire of Him, He will make great things happen. And we need to believe. And we need to pray. And we need to ask. And we need to bring. And we need to fill Azalea City up. And you know what else we need to do? Every time we leave this place, I want you to talk up how great this place is. Because I'm telling you right now, if you've got something great, don't keep it to yourself. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Tell them what Azalea City can do. Tell them what we are doing here. Because we are, as a mission, trying to reach out to all those in our surrounding areas. And let me tell you something, I'm far from perfect. Man, I make mistakes every single day of my life. I am as human as you are, right? I fail, I forget, there are times when I mess up. But one thing I'm always going to get right is talk about how special this place is. This is my 20th year here. Really, it's my 42nd. But my 20th year as an employee. This place is special. Get the nevertheless out of you. And let's talk about Caleb for a little bit. Thanks be to God for Caleb, right? Because Caleb understood there's strength in numbers. If those 10 are going to do it, the two of us will. And so today I want you to think about this. We are stronger together because we are that threefold cord. We are that two warming one another. We are that two looking out for one another. I want you to think about this. 10 said no, but 2 said yes. Caleb, go back to Caleb. Don't you love Caleb? Caleb here in Numbers 13 says it this way. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. We can do it. We can get this done. And that's the mindset we must have. We need to be on the 2 side, not the 10 side. You see, there's a lot of negativity around the world. There are a lot of people that try to keep you down and keep you from gaining goals and getting these things. I want you to understand that if God is included and it brings glory to Him, then let's shoot for the moon. Because that's what it's all about, is pleasing God. But another point I want you to remember in all this is 2 in this story is far greater than 10. Because of those 10, you know what happened? You remember what happened? Do you remember what happened? You see, because of their mindset, because they said, hey, we can't do it. Do you know all of them died and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Joshua and Caleb were spared. Okay, we remember what happened to Joshua. He became the leader that finally did lead them in there, right? But my point to you is this. A nevertheless mindset is only going to make us perish in the end. It's only going to make us suffer in the end. We need to understand 2 in this story is always greater than the 10. And positivity is always greater than negativity. And we need to be that positive light. Thirdly, I want you to remember in this, maybe, little Hebrew child was greater than a mighty Egyptian king. You remember Moses? You remember that he was born to the Hebrews? His mama did not want to obey the law to kill her baby, so she floated him down the river in the Nile, and you remember he floated just at the right time because of God's providence that he was drawn out of the water by the daughter of Pharaoh. Well, all that, Moses grew up in the kingdom, he kills, he flees, but at the end of the day, that little Hebrew child, because of God, was far greater than the mighty Egyptian king. And I'm going to tell you right now, so are you. So am I. So are we. How about this? There was a young shepherd greater because of God than a giant killing machine, champion. We know the story, David and Goliath. He was a young shepherd. He's ultimately going to be the king of all Israel. But he knew God was on his side. And he was able to conquer the giant. What about this? One lowly governor was greater with God than a den of hungry lions. You remember Daniel? He had become governor of the land. He had risen to power. And because he prayed to God and he had those nevertheless people in his life, those naysayers in his life, they got a decree made, a law made that said Daniel could not bow down to anyone but Darius the king. And so Daniel goes and he does what he's supposed to because he's obligated to God, and he prays to God, and they get him in trouble, and because the king can't change it, he has to throw Daniel in the lion's den. But you remember the king. He made such an impact on Daniel that he said, "Hey, Daniel, your God will save you." And you remember as Daniel goes into the lion's den, the mouth of those lions are shut because of God. Then we have this, one humble carpenter is far greater than the prince of this world. You see, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is far greater than Satan. Jesus came to this earth to be tempted in all points as we are, to resist those temptations, to go to the cross, to die, and to resurrect Himself from the grave. Along the way, to establish His kingdom. And you know, I have to think Satan probably thought he won. When they rolled that tomb in front of Joseph's tomb that Jesus was laying in, when they rolled that stone there, I have to think for a moment Satan thought, "I did it. I did it. I won." But up from the grave he arose. And Satan was crushed, just like it said in Genesis. You, me, and God, is greater than anything the devil will throw at us. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that God can use you and He can use me to move mountains, to save souls, and to bust the walls out of this place and grow this kingdom. So I want to ask you as we get ready to close, how strong are your wings? How strong are your wings? You know the negative naysayers, the 10, the neverthelesses. You know what kind of strong, mighty wings they had? The wings of grasshoppers. Grasshoppers have wings. I didn't know that when I was a little kid. I thought they just hopped high. But they fly because they have little bitty wings. What kind of wings do you want today? Do you want those little grasshopper wings? Or do you want to have the mindset of Joshua, this one of the two who stood up in Joshua 24:15 and said, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know what? Those are not grasshopper wings, folks. In fact, those are the wings that Isaiah talked about when he said, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Today, which side of the fence are you on? Are we going to understand, hey, there's strength in numbers, and we're going to fill this place up because God's going to bless it, and I'm going to soar with the wings like eagles? Or have I been on the side that says, hey, we can't do it. We're not going to do it. I'm just satisfied being where we are. I'm satisfied in my life. I'm satisfied in my walk. And I'm going to fly around with my little grasshopper wings. Two, that day was far greater than the ten. Jesus Christ, far greater than the prince of this world. Which side are you on? Today, if you're not on His side, I want you to cash in those grasshopper wings. And I want you to mount up with wings like eagles. And I want you to soar with us as we turn this community upside down. We need you. But you need Him. Be obedient to the gospel. Have your sins washed away. Or come home right now as together we stand and sing.